Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Pollster, pollster on the wall. Who's the weakest candidate of them all? Looks like Mitt Romney and President Obama are both beginning the general election campaign with more weaknesses than strengths. One with low likability, the other with low approval. Let's see what this might mean for key demographics, young voters, Latinos, the white working class. With Molly Ball, national politics writer for The Atlantic, and political scientist Jonathan Bernstein, author of A Plain Blog About Politics. Welcome to both of you to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning.
Molly, you wrote the other day about President Obama's weakness with the group that he was a rock star with in 2008, voters under 30. What gives?
Well, actually, voters 18 to 24, where he ought to be even stronger. There's a new poll that showed that President Obama had just a single digit, a seven-point lead over a generic Republican challenger. So not the most specific poll in the world, not a head-to-head between Obama and Romney. But at the same time, an interesting read, considering that that's a group he won by 34 points in 2008, and that, of course, is a big part of our sort of popular image of Obama with his sort of movement of young people that helped power his candidacy. It would seem to be at least a warning sign, not that he's going to lose this group. I don't think there's any chance of that, and it's a pretty small part of the electorate. But if he's weak with young voters, I think it signals a larger weakness for Obama and just tells us something about how this election is going to be a lot different than 4 years ago.
Could this have anything to do with the individual mandate? The whole brouhaha is over young, healthy people who are uninsured being forced to buy.
That's a very interesting question. The poll did not get into issues on that specific level, and I think the sort of conventional wisdom, which I tend to agree with, is that it's more generally just a sort of disillusionment that these sort of idealistic young people have felt like the whole hope and change slogan was not revolutionize Washington like they were
yes.
expecting. But the healthcare angle is a really interesting one, and that plays into that narrative as well, right? The sort of messy and largely disappointing to a lot of liberals way that healthcare played out contributed to a lot of their disillusionment with Obama.
Indeed. So when we're done, folks, with Molly Ball and Jonathan Bernstein, we're going to do a call-in specifically for anyone under 40, and we're going to define it up to 40, who is young, healthy, and uninsured. Does the fact that you would be mandated, if the Obama law stands, to buy health insurance that you are currently choosing not to buy, does this affect your opinion of President Obama? Maybe you feel protected by this. Maybe you feel imposed on by this. Maybe you feel unconstitutionally imposed on by this. But if you're under 40, healthy, and uninsured, in a few minutes, we're going to start taking your phone calls. You can even call in now if you want to wait about 10 minutes or so. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you're young, healthy, and uninsured, how does the individual mandate affect your likelihood to vote for President Obama for re-election? Jonathan Bernstein, are you watching the young vote at all?
Well, I think that you have to be real careful on these things. I saw Molly's post, which was a good one, but there was also a recent poll, the Pew poll, that showed that President Obama was doing just fine with a slightly different group. I think that was 18 through 29s. And one of the things that I think you have to step back from is whether specific demographic groups are going to swing differently or whether you get more of a uniform swing so that everybody, certainly the, Barack Obama is not quite as popular as he was 4 years ago, but are there specific swings within that? And mostly it's very, very hard to pick up on that just due to the nature of the polling. It's easy for these subgroups to look sort of out of whack in different polls, and you have to sort of look at the poll of polls to try to get a sense of what's going on mm-hmm. within that.
Jonathan, I see you posted a poll on your blog yesterday asking liberals and conservatives for the best radio or TV personality coming from their ideology. Have you gotten any results worth talking about?
It was interesting. Rachel Maddow certainly has a lot of people who like her. The comedy team over on Comedy Central, Jon Stewart and
Colbert
are very popular. And, of course, you know, that fits in with the group that we're talking about. If we're talking about young people, that presumably young people get a lot of their, you know, we've seen these surveys that young people claim to get a lot of their actual news from the comedy shows. So that's always a fun finding.
And gleeful conservatives, I hear in the media, Jonathan, say Obama can't win because historically presidents running for re-election with approval ratings below 50% at this point lose. And I hear cheerful liberals say history suggests any candidate with likability numbers as low as Romney's are historically unelectable. How important do you think either of these metrics are?
Neither of them are important at all.
Really?
We want to look at approval ratings for the president. That's probably still the best guess that we would get this early. And where Barack Obama is right on the margins. I saw, he's a little below where he needs to be reelected, but he's above where he'd be in horrible shape. You know, where Jimmy Carter was at this point, or where the first George Bush was at this point. He's doing better than them. He's doing worse than Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan at this point. So he's in the neighborhood. As far as Romney's likability, I'm very skeptical that that's going to hold over. I think that what you're going to find is that conservatives, Republicans, are going to wind up being perfectly happy with Mitt Romney. And I think we've already seen a little of that consolidation happening in the polls just in the last couple of weeks. And I think that's going to continue. Especially to the extent that Romney's close, Republicans are going to suddenly find all kinds of wonderful virtue in him. If the economy tanks over the rest of the year and Barack Obama's approval ratings really fall into a dangerous point, then lots and lots of people are going to suddenly find all kinds of qualities they love about Mitt Romney.
You think, Molly? Any different take on that?
No, I absolutely agree. Sort of spoken like a true political scientist, right? None of this tells us, none of these early polls tell us who is going to win the election. And I agree with that, although it certainly, I think, matters whether voters like these candidates. And as you were saying at the top of the hour, these are two candidates who are not particularly well-loved in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's going to contribute to an election whose tone is overwhelmingly negative. Mitt Romney's whole mission being to make it a referendum on the incumbent president, that is the only way that he wins, and Obama's team already very aggressively trying to turn that around and make the election a choice instead and make it about who do you like better, Obama or this person who's obviously horrible, and trying to make Mitt Romney as negatively perceived as possible. You do see, as Jonathan said, that in some of the polls looking ahead to the general election already, Romney's favorability has started to rebound a little bit, largely because the party is finally coming around to him, the Republican Party coming around to him as the nominee. He still has pretty dismal numbers with independents, and that's what I will be watching to see if he can rebound.
We have Molly Ball with us, who is just speaking, national politics writer for The Atlantic, and political scientist Jonathan Bernstein, author of a plain blog about politics. Molly, to follow up on what you just said, I think one key demographic we're being told to keep our eyes on is white working class women, the so-called waitress moms, especially single white working class women who often vote Republican, but not always, and who are just not getting the whole Mitt Romney NASCAR owning friends liking to fire people who provide services to him and got a couple of Cadillacs thing. Do you think this is a key?
Yeah, I think you have two intersecting narratives going on there. One is the sort of white working class problem that both candidates have. This is certainly not a demographic that has been friendly to Obama historically, but at the same time, a lot of Republicans are worried that Romney can't relate to these people either, and we've seen throughout the Republican primary that has been the way that Rick Santorum in particular, but also Newt Gingrich when he was briefly sort of channeling that Tea Party spirit, this was Romney's sort of Achilles heel, was this demographic, I think, among men and women. On the other hand, you have this whole narrative about the women's vote, which is going to be very significant and which has exploded into public view in a lot of ways already. Democrats historically tend to win the women's vote overall, but that does come largely on the strength of younger women and minority women, So, and college-educated women in particular. So we're going to see, we're going to continue to see a very aggressive attempt by Romney to try to cut into that advantage that, that Obama has, which has been a formidable advantage in these early polls and which has been really the entire source of Obama's strength. I recall one poll, I'm not sure which one, where Obama was losing the male vote by 1 point, but he was winning the women's vote by 18 points, and that was enough to put him in a nearly 10-point lead overall.
And folks, this just in, to digress for a moment, the Supreme Court just announced that they will not hear the case of Harmon versus Kimmel, the case that questions the constitutionality of New York City's rent stabilization laws. This is a victory for rent control and rent stabilization advocates here in the city and really statewide. These are New York state laws, technically. But it doesn't mean they're saying the laws are constitutional, but the Supreme Court will not hear the case this year. And two lower courts have already said that the laws are constitutional. We'll take a closer look at this later in the program. But again, in case you're one of the million or so tenants in New York City or the affected landlords who are holding your breath this morning, the Supreme Court just announced that they will not hear Harmon versus Kimmel, which questions the constitutionality of New York's rent laws, so the rent laws stand. All right, back to presidential politics. Jonathan, on what we were just discussing with Molly, I heard David Brooks and E.J. Dionne agree about this group of white working class women on their weekly sort of debate segment on All Things Considered. They agreed that Romney would be better off emphasizing something more communitarian for those women than the Paul Ryan budget, you're on your own, Jack, I'm for freedom kind of approach. Do you agree? Have you thought about this at all?
Well, I think that there's a lot of danger for Romney in sticking to the Paul Ryan approach and sticking to some of the more hardline conservative things that he had to do in order to win the nomination, mainly because a lot of those things just aren't that popular generally. And so one of the interesting things over the next few months is whether Romney's able to move to the center, whether he get, you know, whether conservatives within his own party allow him to do that, or if they want him to talk about some of the less popular things on their agenda. So I think that's definitely true. You know, one of the things what Molly was saying about the different types of women that and different subsets of white working class women, I think that points to sort of one of the things that we can see in elections is that from our sort of outsider view, what you see is uniform swing. The electorate tends to move together. On the other hand, the campaigns are sitting there with these huge war chests of money, and they're going to try to try to get little bits and pieces of the electorate with micro-targeting and very sophisticated operations that look for tiny little, married, suburban, or ex-urban. And it's a little hard for us to see that from the outside because the public polling sometimes doesn't give us a good clue as to some of these really tiny breakdowns.
Well, Molly, is there a Republican communitarian message, to quote Dionne and Brooks? The party has become so libertarian.
That's a very interesting way of putting it. And, I think I believe it was Margaret Talbot at The New Yorker had a really smart take last week saying that one of the key points that you see with the women's vote is that women are much more likely to believe in big government, that men are much more likely to embrace that libertarian message that says, I want to be left alone, I want this sort of go-it-alone ethos that is associated so strongly with especially the modern Republican Party. Polls of issues, what issues are most important to you, you have men going more strongly on the economy, women say more likely to say healthcare. Romney is going to need to develop a message that makes people believe he's going to do something about things and not just have government get out of people's lives if he wants to appeal to those voters that want government to do something about their problems.
Interesting. So before you both go, Molly, you wrote a piece with a disconcerting title, Campaign 2012 will be nasty, brutish, and anything but short. I can hear our listeners fleeing for Light FM at the very thought of it. But does this joint weakness that we've been discussing of the two candidates make for a nastier run?
I think that's a big part of it. Another big part of it that I pointed to in that piece was all of the money that is going to be dumped into this campaign. When money is no object, it means that the campaigns can just go all out on every little thing and fill every available minute of TV commercial airtime with these negative ads and so forth, which is the biggest line item in campaign spending. And so, yeah, it's going to be wall-to-wall. We're not going to get a reprieve from it, and it's not going to be sort of sunny and inspirational like some of the campaigns of the past.
Jonathan, want to take a quick shot at the Veep Stakes? The latest buzz over the weekend on the Sunday talk shows was about Ohio Senator Rob Portman, who was President Bush's budget director. They want a running mate who was seen as unknown and boring rather than Rubio or Chris Christie or Paul Ryan?
My strong advice to all presidential candidates is pick somebody boring. There's very little evidence that a vice presidential candidate can help. Maybe a couple points in their home state. That's about the top of it. But we've had some presidential candidates that seem to have hurt, and candidates get in trouble is when they pick somebody unknown who is unvetted, and then it blows up on them.
How do you spell Sarah Palin? That's how. Molly Ball, national politics writer for The Atlantic, political scientist Jonathan Bernstein, author of A Plain Blog About Politics. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Now we'll open the phones on the question, if you're young, healthy, and uninsured, will you vote for President Obama's reelection? 212-433-WNYC. We heard from Molly Ball of The Atlantic there about the drop in popularity among an important part of President Obama's reelection base, young voters who supported him hands down in 2008. She was talking mostly about the youngest voters, 18 to 24. But for the next group up, say anyone under 40, the individual mandate to buy health insurance that has become so controversial is targeted precisely at you. So let's take calls from anyone under 40 who is currently uninsured. Are you happy the president is creating a system for you? Or do you want to shout, don't tread on me? You can start calling now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you feel protected by the Obama law and you're looking forward to the health insurance exchanges being set up because you'll have a better shot at finding affordable insurance? Or do you feel imposed upon, even unconstitutionally violated, because government, especially the federal government, should never force you to buy something? It's a call-in for people under 40 who are young, healthy, and uninsured. Does the individual mandate, which affects you, affect how you might vote in the presidential election? 212-433-WNYC or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll put you right on the air right after this.